With a Republican in the White House and both chambers of Congress with GOP majorities, will that bring more collaboration in government than we've seen in the past few years? Oklahoma Republican Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen, just reelected, speculates with Federal News Radio's Eric White.
Well, I think funding is obviously a big issue. We have till December 9th to figure out what we're going to do there. The continuing resolution, which we refer to as the CR, expires on December 9th. Of course, we have our national defense authorization that we have to get done. We have passed our version, obviously, in the House. We have been awaiting on the Senate to act, and then when they did, we went ahead and went to conference, and so now we're in conference with that. So we'd like to do the NDAA, get it funded, and then the discussion is do we CR the rest of it, do a continuing resolution until February, and until the new administration fully takes office, and then do the budget, which we need. Although the Pentagon has been very open with us, we started having conversations with them in September. They made it very clear they do not want to extend the CR. They would rather have a for sure funding of any type than to do a CR any longer than December 9th. And so that's, we would love to do that, but we're not really holding our breath considering the president's already threatened to veto the current NDAA spending bill.
So with everybody on board now and Republicans having, power in the executive and all branches of government, do you think that we'll finally see a defense budget coming through, or is there still going to be some tussling back and forth?
Well, it's lame duck, Eric. You've been around this a long time, too, and anything can happen. I think right now you see the Republican Party, obviously. We haven't taken control yet because that doesn't officially happen until January 3rd in the Congress. But nothing really changed there because we already had the Senate and the House. But it'll help when we get 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and get a Republican president in there for us to be able to pull our Better Way agenda forward. But right now, we still have to deal with the Congress that was in place before the election. But there's been some hard feelings there. We see that, there's a leadership challenge going on in the Democrat side on the House. That's causing a lot of friction, and so we really aren't getting any signals because we still have to work with our leadership over there. But the leadership over there is in disarray, and so for us to communicate with them is being very difficult. A lot of people outside the Beltway doesn't realize that the leadership election actually takes place in November when we get back before Thanksgiving. So the leadership elections have already happened. Most people think the leadership elections, as you know, happens just when they see it on TV in January. That's just the formal process. And so we just finished the House. Republicans just finished our elections on Tuesday, and we reelected our leadership with Speaker Ryan, Leader McCarthy, and our whip, Scalise. And so we're ready to move. But with the friction that's happened on the Democrat side of things, we aren't really sure where to go. So what we've decided to do as House Republicans is that we went ahead and started visiting with the Trump administration, which we know they've got their hands full trying to get all their people in place. Our incoming Vice President Pence has been extremely helpful on making sure that we're working with the incoming administration, knowing where they want us to move and what they would like us to have accomplished or have on their desk when they take office on the 20th of January. So I think if I'm going to make an assumption here, and it is sincerely what I'm saying here is an assumption, I believe what is likely to happen is that we try to get NDAA done and then probably do a CR for the rest of it. I think that's the likely outcome. But however, we haven't been able to have the conversation with the Democrats yet because they are in a leadership struggle.
What changes to the budgeting process do you think that we'll see? And with the changing of administration, are we going to see a defense budget? And are we looking at the end of all these continuing resolutions?
We hope we have an end of a continuing resolution, but let me tell you, the budget process has been broke since 1977. It doesn't really make any difference what administration is in place. Because of some budget reforms act that happened in 76, we've only had four completed on time budgets since 1977, and I think I would be guessing at the years, but I'm not going to throw out which years, but it's only been on average about once a decade. And so when we start looking at that, we realize that the bigger problem is what caused the budget to go at a disarray the way that it is. I mean, the 12 appropriation bills, is there a better way to do that? We want to be transparent. We want to have the American people know what's happening. But we've been having historically since 1977 a very hard time to get the budget done, no matter who's in office. But our focus, obviously, is going to be going after tax reforms. Our tax system is extremely complicated and difficult. The incoming administration, President-elect Trump, has made it very clear he wants to see tax reform. So our Ways and Means Committee is working on it. We want to see our energy sector thrive, not pick winners and losers, but truly have all of the above approach. So on our Energy and Commerce Committee, which is where I'm at, has got our hands full with the energy just to make sure we're energy independent and we're not relying on the cartel out of OPEC in the Middle East. But then we also have health care. Health care is an extreme mess and a burden on all Americans right now, regardless if you support or don't support ACA or Obamacare. We all know the cost there. Well, that goes to energy and commerce, and we're going to have to repeal and replace, and that isn't as easy as just a pen and piece of paper, because every executive order that the current administration, the Obama administration, has done over the last 8 years can be undone with a pen and piece of paper. But legislation, which is what ACA was, Obamacare, it was legislation. It's going to take legislation to overturn and to repeal and replace. And that process is going to be done, but it's not going to be as easy as overturning executive orders.
And you touched on energy a little bit. Are you concerned at all in that specific sector, or even with Obamacare, of the president issuing so-called midnight regulations that might solidify and entrench his policies as he's moving out of office?
Eric, absolutely. We've already sent a letter to all the agencies. Leadership has sent it out and said, do not enforce any harmful regulations moving forward in the remainder part of this current administration. That is not unusual to happen. When Obama took office 8 years ago, the Democrats at that time also sent a letter to the administration telling them not to enforce any of the outgoing Bush administration midnight regulations. So all we've done is put them on warning already that if they were to do this, that there will be consequences for doing so, because it'll be outside the will of the people, which the people's house is obviously Congress.
What exactly are those consequences? I mean, if he has nothing to lose, you know, what's stopping him from doing that?
Well, keep in mind, we do have the power of the purse, and that purse has been somewhat taken away from us because we had a gentleman in the White House that was very loose with his pen and piece of paper, and he put the executive branch above the legislative branch, which were equal branches. And so we spend a lot of time fighting him. But when we got an incoming administration that understands the heavy burden of regulation, because he's come from the private sector, he understands that there is need for regulation, but overregulation kills the entrepreneur and the economy to which he is going to bring back, then they understand that they probably already have a target on their back. I don't think it'd be wise for them to go out and start enforcing these regulations underneath the agenda that the current administration has had. It would be, as I said, against the will of the people. The people made it very clear what economy they have chosen and where they want to see this country. And as our incoming president-elect Trump said, make America great again is about our economy. It's about getting this country back on track and restoring the jobs that we've lost. And a lot of those jobs we lost was because of the heavy hand of regulations.
Are there any struggles or disagreements that you see Congress having with the incoming executive administration after January or February?
There's always going to be a disagreement. I mean, the best marriage in the world still has a few disagreements. And I try to remind people all the time, all of us are going to have different way of processing things. I mean, we all make decisions based on two things, the way we were raised and our life experiences. And everybody up here has had different life experiences, and all of us are raised different. So there's going to be a disagreement, but our common goal is still the same. It's getting this country back on track, make this country great again, restore the jobs that we've lost, and keep focused that we have all one thing in common, regardless of Republican or Democrat. We all stand up and pledge allegiance to the same flag, and that's that great flag of the United States of America. And so as long as we stay focused on what we're trying to get done, it's all about the American people. It's all about making this country great again. Whatever our disagreement is, we'll be able to work past it.
You're standing firm with your president-elect, obviously, but is there anything that could happen or occur that, you know, you could see maybe some people that are maybe didn't support President Trump during the election or even, you know, after the primary, that might shift away and have sort of a, you know, three-part Congress where we've got Republicans that aren't completely on board with the Trump administration, Democrats, obviously, and full-blown Republicans that are just going to toe the party line?
I guess there's always that possibility. But I think when we had our elections Tuesday, it showed that we're a unified party right now. All three of our leaders all received unanimous, not one single no vote, not one single challenger, unanimous reelection. So that's speaking that we're working together. We're going to have our differences. We're a family. We're going to have a difference of direction that we want to make a priorities. But at the end of the day, we're still going to stay focused. As I say, it's about delivering what the American people expect us to deliver, and that's getting this country back on track and making it great again.
So you see the Freedom Caucus maybe not having as many issues with the Ryan leadership?
They didn't challenge, and they didn't oppose. They didn't throw up even. There wasn't anybody that even stood up and asked questions or even showed concerns in any of the elections. In our top five, no one spoke up. I'm telling you, it was a unanimous reelection with no challenge and no concerns expressed.